Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, for they sow not, they don't plant, they don't have tractors, whatever, neither do they reap nor gather in the barns. They don't know what a harvest is, they don't know when to plant, they don't know when to water, they don't know anything about fertilizer, the birds. But he says, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And he says, are you not much better than they?" A bird didn't have to think about anything except, man, I'm awake now. I wonder if there's a worm. Or maybe there's a seed or something, whatever the bird likes to eat. That's all the bird thinks about. He doesn't have to worry about where it comes from. He just wakes up and goes get it, because God provides it. But he says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit or one foot to your stature?" You know, you can watch all the advertisements on TV about the weight gain and weight loss and the different workout videos and whatever, but you can bulk up a little bit, but you can't grow 1 inch, much less a cubit, which is a foot and a half. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And if you can't, he says, then why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed or arrayed like one of these. King Solomon, richest man that ever lived, as far as we know, at least before modern times. Obviously, a king is going to be dressed to the nines. Obviously, the king's going to have gold and what have you, gold woven into his clothing and what have you. Strands of gold, what have you. But some little lily that grows by the side of the ditch, I guess in Louisiana, we have lilies that grow by the sides of ditches. God says that's more beautiful, better dressed than King Solomon. Again, from God's perspective, he sees things a little bit differently, doesn't he? "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" If God can care for the birds and the grass and the flowers, he can care for you, he's saying. But this little phrase here, "if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven." Back then, in biblical times, they did burn grass for various things. But there's another reference here. There's the fact that very soon, don't know when, but very soon, Jesus is coming back. The end of the world is near. The Battle of Armageddon, what have you. The end of the world is near, and Jesus is going to return and upset everyone's apple cart. And the things that we hold so dear down here, they're going to burn up. And those that didn't live for God, they're going to burn up. Again, perspective. The world will end one day, and I believe soon, and judgment awaits. However you lived, and what we preached at so far today, what were you looking at? What were you invested in? What were you concerned about? The latest video game? The latest TV show? What happened to the star out in Hollywood, you know, who they shacking up with or whatever, if those things matter to you, it says that heaven and what Jesus did for you and God's love for you, John 3:16, doesn't really matter to you. You need to get your priorities right. But he says in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal, or how shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. In this context, it means sinners. You sitting in church, going to church every week, whatever, every Sunday, been doing so for years, and you fretting. What am I going to wear? And not in the context of, well, I don't know if I have a clean shirt tomorrow, but am I not going to have a shirt that is in style, got to have the latest fashion, one I had last year ain't no good, which is kind of silly. Because that's what the world thinks about. That's what the sinners who aren't in church, who don't love God, who are not born again, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are the ones that are fretting about all of these things. What are you doing, Christian? Fretting just like the sinners. Trust God. He can put a beautiful lily by the side of the ditch, or a beautiful bird to pass overhead. He can take care of you too, O ye of little faith. But he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Quit fretting, put your trust in God. But verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, in the last few years, I don't know how to pick out clothes. I just don't. I don't really have a sense of style or fashion. I can look and say, well, that don't look good, but I don't know how to pick the things that do look good. And there have been several silk shirts that were given to me. Some very nice shirts, and I end up going to church in silk that I probably can't afford and wouldn't know which ones to pick out and don't even know what stores to go to look for that stuff. God provided these things for me, and I don't know that I necessarily even asked for silk, but he provided. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, tomorrow, for the next day, what have you. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow and the troubles of tomorrow, because you get enough troubles today. You know, these are hard sayings. These are very difficult things that the Lord is teaching us. First off, to give up your entire lifestyle, perhaps. You know, kids end up in high school, whatever, and their whole life is concerned about external things that don't matter. They're concerned about, do they have the latest music on the latest iPad? Do they have the latest telephone, cell phone, what have you? Do they have the right ringtone? Or are they wearing the right kind of t-shirt or blue jeans or tennis shoes? The person in class next to them in fifth period, you know, they're going to be dressed better than them, what have you. That's all they think about. And absolutely none of that matters at all, really. They don't think about what kind of a job am I going to have when I get out of school, or can I go to college, or am I going to have a job? Am I going to be able to get a job in this horrible economy? The things that truly matter, they're oblivious. But trusting God, forsaking all of the things that we concern ourselves with, and just trusting God that he's going to provide clothes. And in my case, nice clothes, amazingly. Not just, oh, I got some ratty blue jeans, but he gave me silk. I can't believe it. God can provide. But we have a task, and that is to trust him. That is to quit holding on so tightly to the things that we have, and our understanding of where our provisions or supply is coming from or what have you, to let go and to trust God. It's a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. It's one thing to say, okay, I'll go to church every Sunday. Or I guess they want me to go sing in the choir, so I guess I'll do it. It's one thing. But to quit fretting and to quit being concerned about do you have the latest makeup or perfume or whatever the case, that's a hard thing. And to trust God, to quit fretting about am I going to be able to get a job or, you know, I've been looking for a raise, am I going to get it or what have you? And I don't know if I can pay the rent this month, just like last month. I didn't know if I could pay it or whatever the case. These things rightfully concern us. And there's no question. Are my kids sick and got to take them to the doctor and can't afford the medicine or whatever the case? These things concern us. But he says to trust him, to just relax in him and trust him. And that is a very difficult thing to do. When he called the 12, and I think even the 70 in Luke chapter 10, he said, I want you to go two by two and have you don't take stuff. Don't pack a backpack. Just, you know, get your Bible. And, you know, you got one change of clothes and go head on. And they went from town to town preaching for months or however long it was, trusting God. I often wonder how an evangelist who travels from church to church, and that's what he does, that's his job, is preaching. I often wonder how they can do it. Because you don't get a whole lot of money in the offering when you preach. You know, you're the guest. I guess the pastor might make a living, but the guest evangelist, he's entirely dependent upon what the people might give and what the pastor might say, well, out of the offering, you know, we'll give you this percentage or whatever the case. I don't know. It's difficult. It's hard to trust him. I remember when I was down in Haiti, this was in probably February of 1994. I was asked to preach a conference or convention or whatever term you want to use. And this was a few miles outside of Port-au-Prince, maybe 20 miles or however long it was, I don't know. Absolutely in the woods, absolutely in the mountains. Beautiful country. Stunningly beautiful farm country. But the nearest structure that I saw to the church was a mile away. This was in the country again. And it was a big church. Got pictures of it on my website, I think. And we were there, I think, for 2 or 3 days. I want to say we got there Saturday morning and we taught that night and we stayed over. And Sunday we went ahead and preached again, what have you. And I don't remember it exactly, but I do remember that we had breakfast. And we'd had supper the night before, but I'd learned something in spending time in Haiti that, although food is nice, it was a luxury. They love to eat. There's not a problem there, but you didn't always have it available. Remember one time, the only reason, well, more than that, actually twice, I can remember two separate occasions, the only reason why I ate lunch was because I asked the pastor, will you please stop? Let's, you know, guy selling, you know, hamburgers or whatever on the side of the road or whatever it was, can we stop and eat? He says, okay, Brother Kelly, we'll stop and eat. But this conference we were at, we had done something, some kind of Bible study in the morning. We were going to have a service that night. But along came, you know, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, almost 1 o'clock, and I'm hungry. And for about an hour or so, I fretted. And I complained and I said, you know, God, I'm hungry. And then I began to think that, you know, sometimes things were too busy or unavailable, whatever. And sometimes they just didn't eat lunch or whatever. And after about an hour, I said, okay, Lord, I surrender. I'm hungry. But I'll shut up. I won't complain. And I'll just say that you have decided that today I don't get lunch. And I'll be satisfied. I trust you. I surrender. Thank you for taking care of me. And again, it took an hour for me to surrender. And about 10 minutes later, a couple of women came up the trail with baskets on their heads. They got to the church. They put the baskets down, took off the kind of a covering that was there. And what do you know? Plates of food. rice and grilled chicken or whatever the case it was. Now, if I had continued to fret, the food would have still gotten there. I would have still been just as full when I was done, but I would not have had the blessing of God. You know, he said to take up your cross and deny yourself, deny your desires. Say, no, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And God blessed me that day in the middle of nowhere in the woods outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I had a great blessing that day because I trusted and I surrendered to him and I let him have his way in my life. And again, the food, 10 minutes later, the food was there and I was happy, but I was 10 times happier because I had conquered my hunger. I had conquered my flesh. And I'm so grateful for that day. He provides, is my point. But these things are hard sayings. Hard sayings to trust him, to depend upon him. They're hard. It's difficult to think that we can follow God. You know, trusting God. Not trusting God and the check that's going to come. Not trusting God and I can go over here and maybe borrow $10. But trusting God alone. It's difficult. There's fear involved if you want to trust God. I know, because I spent a long time afraid. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He says it, and I believe it. But is he really going to take care of me? Is he really going to help me pay the bills? Can he do it? Well, I guess the Bible's full of examples. You know, he opened the Red Sea. He opened blind eyes. Lazarus came up out of the grave after 4 days. I believe, but I'm afraid. Can he do it? Yes, yes. God can meet my needs. I know God can meet my needs, but will he? Will he do it for me? Do I have enough faith? Have I been faithful enough? Have I prayed enough? I mean, I know he can, and he says in various places that it's his will to provide for us. But will he for me? I mean, maybe somebody that's more spiritual than me, maybe they can be healed, or maybe he can provide their needs. Will he do it for me? So like I said, it's a very, very hard thing. I trust the word of God, but for years I was afraid. And maybe some of you are facing the same things. But God is able. And God is faithful if we trust him. But let's read some other verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, shall it be measured unto you again. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And some of you have heard these verses. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware to his fathers, as it is this day. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mark chapter 11, verse 23, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Every one of you has heard these verses over and over and over again on television. And I don't have to name the preachers. You know who says these things. And these are verses from the Bible. And they're right and they're true. And I believe them. But the way they're commonly taught has to do with greed and covetousness and self and selfishness. Supposedly giving to God in order to get. Look at the contrast between trusting God and not fretting and giving that $100 on your credit card and believing a hundredfold return. It's a sad, sad commentary that most Christians, they sit at home and they watch that stuff, have more faith for a hundredfold return than they do for God meeting their needs and helping them pay the bill when they don't have the money. It's a sad commentary. One says, deny self. The other says, to feed self. One says, don't take any thought for the clothes you're going to put on. The other one, you look at their TV programs and they're dressed. Man, I couldn't afford those suits that they have on. The gold that they wear. The idea is that if you're not financially blessed, whatever blessed means, then you're not a good Christian. You're not living a life of faith. And their faith is faith in faith. Not faith in God, but faith in how much they've confessed or what have you. It's such a contrast. You know, television is enormously expensive. I thought radio was expensive. Television's much, much more. All the lighting, the sets, you have to pay a staff of dozens of people to put on a program every week or whatever. Then there's the airtime, not only on one television station, but on thousands across the United States or whatever the case. Enormously expensive. Those guys could not be on the television, not 1 minute, much less for decades, if gullible Christian suckers didn't send them cash every month. Again, it's a contrast. What are you looking at? Is your eye single, like we talked about earlier? Where's your heart? If your treasure is, if I give this $100, I can get all these thousands back. Or maybe, you know, I don't have much, but maybe if I give in the missions offering, somebody like Brother Kelly or somebody else, there's thousands of missionaries, I guess, can go and win souls. It's a contrast. If you give to missions, if you invest in someone else's life, maybe you know, I don't know your situation, I don't know what your church does or practices or whatever, but maybe you've got, I guess you can say home missions, maybe you can help the feeding program or the after-school tutor program or whatever the deal is that your church sponsors. Store up treasures in heaven and forget about fretting and forget about trying to get rich watching those guys while you're sitting on the couch. If you want to get rich, and you're not going to get rich, if you want to get rich or whatever, how about getting off the couch and getting productive? Oh, brother, you step on my toes. I hope so. You should never give a dime to those thieves on television saying that you can send in your seed money and whatever, and God will give you all these hundredfold returns back. It's a lie. It's a lie. He said, if any man follow after me, not the guys in the nice suits on television, but follow Jesus Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and I'll leave you with this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.